We're restarting our series on Pirkei Avot with the Jewish home. And we left off a year or two ago, we left off in the 5th chapter, 16th Mishnah of Pirkei Avot, a very relevant Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Ahava, any love, Shehi Tluya B'davar, that is contingent on something external, something finite, Batil Davar, Batil Ahava. So then you will discover that when that finite external thing is over, then the love is over too. V'sheina teluya b'davar, and love that is not contingent on something else, eina b'tela l'olam, that's love that doesn't end forever. Ezo yava hatluya b'davar, what type of love is contingent on something external? Zo avat Amnon v'tamar, that's the love of Amnon for Tamar. Remember, Tamar was his half-sister, and he desired her tremendously to the point where he made believe he was ill in bed. And then he begged his father to send Tamar to prepare him some food. And when it came into the room, he asked everyone to leave the room, and then he took her forcibly. And when he was done doing whatever he wanted with her, he kicked her out of the house. And he ordered his servant, lock the door after her. Don't let her back in. And with tremendous cruelty, Amnon violated Tamar and then kicked her out of the house. And ultimately he paid for it with his life when Tamar's brother Avshalom murdered him. So that's a love that's external. He didn't love the human being. V'sheina tluya b'davar, what's an example of love that's not contingent on something external? Zo avat David v'Yonatan, that's the love of David and Jonathan. So it's interesting that the example of love that's wrong is one between a man and a woman. And the example of love that's right is the love between two friends, David and Yonatan. So the simple reading of the Mishnah really carries enough weight. The Mishnah really opens a Pandora's box because, like we've discussed many times, we are multifaceted and we are complex, and the person's not allowed to engage a woman, to get engaged to a woman unless he's seen her, because maybe there'll be something about her that bothers him. So that means the externals do matter. On the other hand, we want that the love, the connection, will be something deeper. It shouldn't be contingent on externals. Now, that's a challenge. Sometimes people don't even realize themselves what's drawing them, what's attracting them. It could be a smile, it could be wealth, it could be fame. There are many things that can attract a person that are external. And true love is much deeper. It's the love of the person. It's the love of a personality or a components of the personality. If your wife asks you, why do you love me? What do you envision your answer being? You have a problem if your answer is because you're beautiful. And what happens when I won't be beautiful? There's a problem if your answer is because you're smart. Well, maybe your smart would be on a different level. But if you love her personality, that's something infinite. We develop in our personalities, but the truth is that you want to reach a point where you can say, I can't point to a specific thing because I love you as a human being. And there's so much more to it than this, that, or the other thing. I can say, I really enjoy your wit. I really think you're brilliant. I love the time we spent together and your insights in so many areas. But the love should really be more encompassing. It doesn't have to be. Sometimes there are specific things that attract a person and it works. But what you want is a situation where it's more. The truth is that people sometimes think it's a do or don't. What happens to all our viewers out there who say, but I did marry her because she was beautiful. Or I did marry him for his money. Now what? Are we doomed? No. Love is something you can create. It's up to us to look for it, to look at the positive in the person, and then within that, to start admiring and loving that.
Yaakov and Leah,
classic example. Yaakov and Leah, oh, very nice, right? It's up to us. And Rav Moshe Cordoviro, in his book Tomer Dvora, says, the way to love someone is to feel like they're an extension of ourselves. If we can view them as a part of ourselves, we can love them. What very often happens is that when people are at the beginning stages of their marriage, so then the wife is not exactly an extension of himself. She is more something to be proud of when you can be proud of her. But when not, then she's on her own. Let's take an example. You're having an argument and she suddenly says something not too intelligent, not too bright. I'm telling you, George Washington was the third president of the United States. And you're sitting there thinking, no. And she's arguing with her siblings across the table. Her brother's saying he was the first president. And she's saying, you don't know what you're talking about. He was the third president. So you're sitting there feeling not too great. And you try to have a different conversation. Suddenly, you're not a part of that one. And she taps you on the shoulder. And she says, Yechiel, tell them I'm right. And if you would just say, you know, I really don't think so, that would be okay. What usually happens, at least in the first few years, is you feel like showing everyone else that you're not where she is. She's on her own. So then what you say is, no. You make this snide comment that's along the lines of, no. George Washington was the first president. And what you've accomplished then is that she's on her own, she's the only dunce at the table, and you're brilliant. Wrong. You've lost, you haven't gained, but it's natural because in the beginning, in the first few years of marriage, you don't really feel like she's an extension of you. She's a very nice person who you like being with and you're looking to build a family with, and sometimes she's smart and sometimes she isn't, and sometimes she's witty and sometimes she goes overboard, and so are you. It takes time. That fusion doesn't happen overnight. But if we look for it, and if we try for it, and if we talk like it is, then it becomes that way. We have to behave like it's there, like any trait we try to acquire. So you're sitting there Friday night, and you just finished the meal, and you're both sitting like this. And there are dishes to be done, and you just had five guests over, and neither one of you feels like getting up and doing the dishes. So us being male, what do we say? We'll get to it tomorrow, right? You guys know that most men are willing to do that. And most women who live tomorrow more so than men. Men can live the moment and forget about tomorrow, and then tomorrow, forget about the dishes. Women, they see tomorrow today. So they see that it's not going to be so easy to get the dishes tomorrow. And most women will say, no, no, dishes have to happen tonight. And then what's the natural male response? Well, I'm good with leaving it for tomorrow. If you want to do it tonight, bechavod. I'm not going to stop you. Right? So that's a pretty classical male response. But wait, if I loved her, what would I do? Ah, very smart. You could tell he's just 7 days away.
More like 14. Not exactly, Rob. It's more like trying to correct you the way that you correct your wife.
You're not getting married next Wednesday?
No.
Ah, the week after that?
I'm married on a Monday.
Okay. In 2 weeks? Okay. Good. I wouldn't want to go to the hall on the wrong day. I've done that already.
The 41st day of the month.
Okay.
Yes, so it should be. So.
Yeah, fair. So, when we behave as though we love, then we start developing love. And that means sacrifice. That means caring. That means doing as though that person is really an extension of me. But it takes time.
Next time,
you
should do the same.
No. You see, you're new to the class. Yechiel, the other guys, no. We always speak about give, and the next time, give again. Your job is to give and give again.
It'll be not easy.
I agree that it'll be not easy. Yes.
Get a washing machine.
What? Get a dishwasher. Right.
We need to wash my
still out of luck Friday night.
No.
Well, but if you chop his dishes, I can eat it for the next day, I'm assuming here. Otherwise, you wouldn't just hide him.
Anyway, it was amazing.
So we're not doomed, and there's a balance. And even though there are external factors, and there have to be external factors, Chazal say that we all know. And without the external factors, people didn't get married. When they took away the desire for promiscuity, people didn't get married. So where's all the holiness? The answer is there's a balance. You need both. And between the two of them, this one has to be very potent. The true love, the love for who the person is at their core. And that takes time. And that takes acceptance. How do you love a person? But she's got so many faults. I also got so many faults. How do you love a person? You look at what's good. You look at what's right. You focus on what's right. And you behave as though you love. That means behave that way. It'll become that way. It's not yet that way. Give yourself 5 years. And after 5 years, you'll give yourself another 5 years. But you can't take 10 years at a time. Give yourself 5 years. No, I'm serious. It takes time. Yes?
Is there a point that one needs to accomplish within himself and his own like self-acceptance in order to properly love someone else? In the sense that, all right, you know, it's gonna take time. You know, she has faults, I have faults, but like maybe someone has to be at a certain point where it's like, all right, but I'm like secure with my faults. I'm aware of what they are. They're good, but I see the gifts better than outweigh the faults, and that the faults are contendable. Does it, someone have to come to a certain point in himself that he's like cool with himself before he can become cool and love someone else, even though that they might naturally have faults of their own?
You want an accurate answer?
Yes.
So then the answer is yes and no.
Okay.
That means there are for sure people who are incapable of giving love. There are people who have all kinds of serious issues and they're stuck in themselves. I'm saying there's Winnicox Fairbairn wrote a whole work on people who suffered certain kinds of abuse that they have deficiencies, psychological and psychiatric deficiencies, and so they can't give love. I'm not sure I agree with them, but at any rate, I will agree that there are people who have either undergone trauma or have different extreme situations where they can't love. That's true. They're very super focused on their own issue, or they're super focused within themselves. Yes, you're right. There are people who are not yet mature or might never be mature emotionally or have the capacity to love, and then that's a very sad thing. But the flip side of it is that most people don't really know how to love till they get married. Every relationship you've had is different. Your parents, whatever that relationship was, it's different. You were a baby, they took care of you, you grew up, and then with all its complications, it's totally different. Your best friend is totally different. Your roommate is totally different. Until you get married, you're living under one roof, you're striving for mutual goals, you have to deal with one another's foibles every day and sometimes every minute, and sometimes you pay a hefty price for one another's weaknesses. It's different. So it's learned. Does a person need a certain emotional maturity to be able to learn it? Yes, but I don't think that that's a reason that a person should say, I'm incapable right now of getting married. A person needs maturity to get married. And the maturity of loving someone else, that's something that's developed. Meaning, assuming a person's healthy and assuming that a person has the other maturities, I think that that's something which is developed within the marriage itself. And that's why the answer is also no. If a person's going to wait till he feels he knows how to love, it's never going to happen. That's why, as from a pedagogical perspective, I should answer you no. Meaning, from a teacher's perspective, the answer is no. You will learn how to love within marriage. You can't learn it beforehand. You could learn the theory, but the practice comes only later. Right.
What's
he asking about self-love? He's saying, does a person have to reach a certain point where he can actually love other people? Sometimes people are too... they have too much of an issue with their own faults.
You have some self-esteem.
Okay, I agree. I'm saying you definitely need some self-esteem, but that's a very dangerous statement because many people develop their self-esteem within marriage. A good marriage will help both people grow. I do not view it as a criterion for a person to date. I think that there are extreme situations where a person cannot date and cannot love, and I view that as an extreme situation, assuming he's reached the other maturities. That's why I think that the correct answer is no. If a person is going to wait to have that feeling, I know how to love, it probably won't ever come. I think that aspect of maturity comes within the marriage. There are other areas where a person has to attain certain maturity, and a person, if he won't be at peace with himself, then that might hurt the marriage for other reasons, and this included. But I don't see this as a specific point, because I think this point is something that really develops within the marriage. I agree with you that there can be situations where a person is so focused on their own faults that they're going to have a hard time connecting with someone else. That's true. And even so, I've seen many people that way getting married and working their way out of it. It's very hard to say that a person shouldn't get married because they still have issues with their own weaknesses. I wouldn't say such a rule. There can be such a thing, but I think there can also be a lot of people who, within the marriage, they work their way out of it. And marriage can be very good that way, because if you have a good partner who loves you, so then that gives the self-confidence to come out of it. And sometimes without it, a person doesn't come out of it. But again, it depends on how extreme. There can be instances where I'll agree. Yeah. Yes?
It's a pleasure to hear an optimistic assessment like that. The next question, just by Thursday night, is how much of that should be known to the other partner beforehand in terms of if people feel that this may not be for them and they're unsure, and how much does one share? But that just came in your last statement. My original thing was what Ben Franklin said. I wondered if you ever heard it about faults, because it's very precious. Before you're married, keep your eyes wide open, and after you're married, keep them half shut. This is a good line about looking at people's faults. You know, obviously you're going to see things that you didn't know existed. She's going to see things they didn't know existed. And as you're saying, you don't focus on those things. Which, you know.
Easier said than done. But yeah,
that's a famous quote that I think.
Very nice, yeah. Should we go on to the next mission or pause here? Pause here.